Oh boy. Need this right away. I don't know what's going on with my voice. All right, there we go. Had to get a little lubrication in there. Oh dear. It's good to see you all out here this morning. Amen. And I hope you're here for a good dose of God's Word. We need that desperately bad in the day and time we're living in. You can turn into the book of 1 Corinthians. That's where we're going to start from, but that's really not where we're going to stay. And we're going to read some verses out of chapter 4. But I just want to encourage everyone this morning, as we trek through this old world, everybody has the circumference of their lives, the responsibilities that revolve within those circumferences, and everybody has dilemmas, everybody has decisions, everybody has problems in some way. And why is that? We're still in this flesh. We're still got to fight with this flesh. Dean had a just about with the hair just not too long ago, didn't you? Yep. Juanita had a bout with it too, and she overcame it. Amen. And truly, you know, death is looked at in the world that we live in as having grief and sorrow and everything all wrapped around it. And yet, death is our only way out for right now. Not unless the Lord comes back right away, but for right now, it's the destiny of everybody in this room. For right now, we just need to live victorious in Christ. Now, I had taught this lesson some time ago. And if I sound like a broken record, just let me know, okay? Because it's pretty hard in the day and time we're living in to get away from the world issues. I mean, they're just affecting everything and everyone. I was listening to Dr. James Kennedy this morning, and he brought out in his ministry, again, he was talking about the fact that so many churches today, pastors, have yielded away from speaking on certain subjects and just not saying anything, you know. And it was kind of funny this morning, it coming out of this man, and at a time when it was a few years back, he stood up and he says, there's one thing I want to make very clear now, this morning. Did you see it? I think Lynn did. And he says, one thing I want to make clear. He says, if I get any notes or any rejections from this message today, I just want you to know I'm going to answer you already. I don't care. He says, I don't give a flip. And he got a clap, an ovation from the people. And he says, I don't care. He says, I'm going to answer you before you ever send it to me. It was really good, and I got tickled at that. And I thought, truly, it is a dilemma that every church is in. It's just not ours. It's just not the churches out here. It's every church that stands for the blood of Jesus Christ finds themselves in that area. And what has happened, so many pulpits today and so many ministries, I got to the point, they're just afraid to say anything. They're scared. They have fear wrapped around them. And the Bible says that fear should be no part of our lives. And I had these notes written down some time ago. It's been suggested that America's moral turning point began in 1963 when the Supreme Court ruled prayer out of public schools. Ruled it completely out of public schools. I believe I was 13 years old at that time, and I do remember that. Barb shakes her head, yeah, because we're pretty close to the same age. And it's the truth. At the time, I didn't understand the devastation of it. That's one problem with many people in the United States of America, is they don't understand the loss in those areas. And what Dr. Kennedy was basically telling these people, that if you disagree with this, you're standing on the wrong side. And it's not pleasant to bring it up, but yet I wouldn't give you a nickel for a pastor or a ministry that somehow wouldn't direct their people in righteousness. If you're going to do that, you've got to speak out at times. Not pleasant. Not only that, here's another thing that brought a great change into our world, and that's back in 1973 when Roe versus Wade and they legalized abortion. It was a great turning point. Now, folks, I know that in our history of this old world that there's been many, 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 many onslaughts and attacks against the Church of the Living God, and that has been ever since Christ came to the earth. And folks, we need to be diligent to be ready to answer to everyone of the hope that lies within us. Not only that, but since then, the Ten Commandments has been taken out of everything. Since then, we've had an onslaught to get "In God We Trust" take off of our money. Where does it stop? It's not going to until we stand up against it. And folks, if it requires us to suffer because of it, then let it so be. Amen? I'm telling you. And we've went to the day where transgender lives, and I know a lot of people scared to death to bring that up and mention it, are just petrified. And we are, you talk about a pandemic among God's world. It's just unreal of what people are allowing today. And many times it has been referred to the fact that it's because God's people have failed in their stewardship. That's as a whole as we look at ministries. And I know there's a lot of ministries out here that are much different than ours, but they claim to know Christ as Savior, and yet they have chosen to keep their mouths shut, not to say anything. We've got our destroy. They're trying to destroy our history. Without a doubt, back in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, if you're right there, it's very simple. It's this. It says in chapter 4, verse 1, "Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." That means we're overseers of it. And as we travel through this world, we're much like the children of Israel that moved through the wilderness towards the promised land. And the only way that that generation could experience it was death. They had to die. The same thing with you and I. We got to run through this wilderness as we live in this world, and the only thing that's going to get us out of it is death. And death is a blessing in so many ways for the child of God. And so without a doubt, we need to be stewards of the mysteries of God. Turn back in 2 Peter with me for just a moment. And then we're going to go on back and look at some other things. 1 Peter. 1 Peter in chapter 4 and in verse 10, it says down here, he says, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain from the tongue." I got the wrong verse there, ain't I? Let me look here for a minute. 1 Peter 4:10. I was in 3. I'm sorry. 4:10. "As every man hath received the gift," over in 4:10, "even so minister to the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." That's another one of those words that I went and looked up, that manifold. And it has a multiple avenue of translations through the Scriptures and what they mean. And what it basically boils down to is that God, in His amazing grace, has the ability to reach in every person's life and shed the amazing grace upon them and can meet every other one of their needs. It unfolds before them. And it is something that has so many avenues, you can't put a number on it. And that's God's amazing grace as we serve. I went on and looked up all the other verses too. I thought about just teaching on that particular subject all the way through. But I backed up, came back to what I was in here, and thought, well, we'll just stick with this. Go back to the book of Deuteronomy with me for just a moment. back into the book of Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy and chapter 8, and you can find this brought out in other portions of scriptures too, but in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, and we're getting warnings and instructions. Moses is lifting up the people and preparing them and everything, and he says here, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna. He's talking about the nation of Israel as they moved through the wilderness, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee, know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord, doth man live. This is one of the greatest detriments of any generation, is leaving truth out. And I want to show that to us this morning by going to some different scriptures and looking and seeing, how are we going to make it through this wilderness? Look, folks, it's going to take some seriousness. It says that that if we're going to be good stewards over the mysteries of God, in the next verse it says this, we must find ourselves faithful. So many works today, so many churches. There are churches that shut down at the beginning of the pandemic and have never had a service since. Oh, what a devastation. What a devastation. And folks, listen, I don't want to die from this disease either. But I'll tell you what, I'm not going to forsake my God. Amen? I am not going to forsake Him. If He requires my life because of it, then so let it be. Amen? And by the grace of God, we can survive anything. We will not leave this world until God is finished with us. Amen? But we have an obligation to stick to the truth of God's Word. What happens when a generation totally throws all that out and just keeps on moving ahead? Well, we're going to talk about that, okay? Sometimes I get ahead of myself. Go to Exodus chapter 16. We're not going to read all these verses. We're not going to go through and have a big study on Exodus chapter 16, you know, the nation of Israel as they wandered through the wilderness. We're just going to look at some subjects and some things that they encountered, some things that they came in contact with as they wandered through the wilderness. Most of their problems were their own. It was because of certain characteristics that caused them great trouble. Look, folks, you and I don't need to experience that. God can lead us through anything if we'll only trust in Him. And like I've told you, if I sound like a broken record up here, somebody just tell me after the service, and I'll try to find someplace else and get a new needle, okay? Try to get a new needle. I heard a guy the other day said he ran into a woman, said she talked so much, he said, I thought she'd been vaccinated with a phonograph needle. And I got to thinking, I thought, you know, them people in that church probably think I'm that way, getting up here running my mouth every week about something. And so by the grace of God, we need to look at where we're about to go in chapter 16 and in verse 2 and 3. Now, we're not going to go through everything, okay? But it says, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. How far do you think a ministry is going to go if they refuse to follow the leadership? How far do you think they're going to go? They're not going to go very far. Many of them will shut the doors, put locks on them, and never open them back up. Why is that? They refuse to follow God's leadership. It's God's leadership that they're refusing, not the churches and not the ministries. And it says here, it says, and the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died at the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. You know, we think that's terrible. You know, these people here, can you imagine what they went through before they got to this point? And everything that had happened in the past, they forgot all about it. Some people have said, have we forgot the Twin Towers? Have we forgot them? Does it still not bring the shock into your life as it did the day it happened? Then there's something wrong if it doesn't infuriate you in some way and strike a fire within you to stand for God Almighty, because that is an attack against truth and Christian principles. It has been said without a doubt that there has never been such an onslaught, and the country that we live in has never lost so much as they have in Christian values. It has been attacked from day one, and it's still being attacked. And it's a shame. It truly is. And here it says that they had forgot where they came from, and when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat the bread, the full, we had brought us forth into the wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. What was the problem? There were no principles, and there was no plans. There was no plans to follow God through whatever lied ahead. Listen, folks, you better make plans. You better make plans. You better plan on sticking to God's Word if you want to live victorious in this world that we're living in. Because I'm telling you, folks, the times are changing rapidly and very, very aggressively. And the only thing that can stop it is a child of God will stand up and say, I'm going to hold to this truth no matter what. I'm going to hold to this truth no matter what. They had no plan, they had no purpose, and they had no guiding set of principles. I wrote this down. What does principles mean? That's another word I looked up. Amen? It means to establish firmly in your mind. To establish firmly in your mind. And I know Janet and I, we've talked about at times, you know, when we were raising our children, and I was never the greatest successful individual at that. But there were some things that I said, it ain't going to happen here. And if it meant rolling up your sleeves and going into a battle, that's what we're going to do. And I wasn't always successful at it. Many of those battles, I lost. But I'm telling you what, folks, I stood for what I believed was right. And it's their decision on whether they want to follow that or not. I cannot make them. Cannot make them. But by the grace of God, we need to establish firmly in our minds, today is the day that we're going to survive. They wandered for 4 decades, and the only way out of the mess they got themselves into was death. That was the only thing that would get them out. It was easy, I wrote this down, it was easy to lose orientation and get confused without priorities. There's no priorities in the society that we live in. Truth has been stomped and stamped underneath people's feet and trodden over, and they have no desire to know what this word says. It's just so defeating to see some of God's people heeding to the things that the world has to teach and not God's Word. Folks, if you can't support it through God's Word, then you better not be in it. You better make a decision. You better make a plan. You better have a principle. You better have an established part of your mind, you know. And you take and you go back, and I'm going to get a little ahead of myself here, but you read about Daniel and everything that he went through in the ungodly society that he found himself in. And it says that when the decree was made, he went back, just as he had always done, daily, 3 times a day, and prayed to his God in heaven. And boy, did the evil of that day have a heyday with that. But they didn't know who this guy, his God, was. Amen? They found out, because the same ones that had had the fiery furnace brought forth and for the other kids and also for the lion's den, found out that they were the ones that wound up within the judgment of that day. Folks, we need to stand true to the things of God. It's easy to become confused. When God's Word is left out, everything takes a different view. Everything takes a different view. When you leave God's Word out, they got that show on television, The View. I got news for you. I've never watched it. Yeah. I seen a guy say the other day, he says today means that the Kardashians have been on television and they're celebrating it because of 20 years. He says, I want to say something. He says, I'm celebrating 20 years today of never watching it. There is an off button on that thing, and you need to get away from it. And folks, I'm telling you, we need to decide now. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? It's becoming more predominant that when we step out those doors, we're going to run into obstacles. We are going to run into obstacles. But the Lord told us in James, He said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. And listen, folks, I've heard people say, well, you know, you pray for wisdom, you get temptations. I'll tell you what, you're going to get temptations. You better be ready to pray. You better be ready to seek God's wisdom. And so without a doubt, they had no plan. They had no direction. They had lost the direction that they needed to go. And the help that they needed was not available by man. Oh, folks, let me tell you something. These stimulus checks are not your answer. The $1 million lottery on the shot is not your answer. What a waste. If that doesn't anger you, there's something wrong. Now, something desperately wrong. And I don't want none of it. They send me them stimulus checks anyway. I thought, well, if they're dumb enough to give it to me, I'm dumb enough to take it. You know? But it's not the answer. Man is not the answer. And folks, today, that's what man is leading towards. He has his own way and his own answers to overcome things in the world. And Christianity is not a part of it. It's not a part of it. They've left it completely out. Now, so I can shut my mouth here. Let's see here. Go down to verse, I'm going to read a little bit here down in verse 4 for just a minute. We're going to down 4 through 7 in chapter 16 of Exodus. Now, here's the word of the Lord coming to them. Here is their commandment in order to know how to handle the situation they had gotten into. They had already voiced their opinions. They had already exposed their lack of following God's leadership. And they said unto Moses, Behold, Moses says, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day. A certain rate every day. Listen, folks, it's important here to understand that God only gives in small portions so many times. You know, we got some other verses we're going to read on as we get down to that, but let's read on. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day that you shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto the people and of Israel, At even then shall you know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. You mean they didn't already know that by now? Something wrong, isn't there? I mean, they saw the Red Sea parted and just different. I mean, what more do you want? They saw all the plagues in Egypt, all that, you know. I mean, you talk about a slap in the face. Wake up. Look around. And he says this. He says, The Lord brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. There's where the murmurings were. They were against the Lord, not against the leadership so much. And it says, And what are we that ye murmur against us? We're just doing what God gives us the direction to do. And But lo and behold, here's the thing. God has a plan. And that plan has stipulations and direction to go. And it only happens, you only get a certain amount for each day. Each day. Daniel went out and he got up and he prayed towards God three times a day. That's all he had for that day. Now, let me look at where I'm at here. I want to make sure I don't leave anything else. God only supplies a certain rate each and every day. Back in Psalms chapter 121 and in verses 1 and 2, it says, "Whence cometh my help?" Let's look at it. I don't have it all written down. I'm scared to death I'm going to say something wrong. So the best thing to do there is just go to the Word of God itself and read it, and then you know you're not going to say anything wrong. I got a few other verses here in the book of Psalms to look up also. In Psalms in chapter 121, I'll get there in a minute. He says, "I will lift up mine eyes," in 121 and in verse 1, "unto the hills, from whence cometh my help? And my help cometh from the Lord, which made the heaven and the earth." Listen, folks, our help is going to come from God. And it depends upon our faithfulness to the Word of God and to this Word that we have here before us. And it is not attainable without cooperation. If you're not going to cooperate, you're not going to get the blessing. Amen? I don't know about you, but I want all God's blessings I can get. I need them. I need them just to survive in this day that we're living in. Excuse me. Let me see. I don't know where all I want to go here. You don't have to look this up, but in Philippians 4:19 it says, "But my God shall supply all your needs." I don't know what you're going to face this week. I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know He can supply all your needs. And not only that, but God has spoken to us according to the book of Hebrews chapter 1 in these days by Jesus Christ. It's through Him that we get God's Word. It's through Him and His death, burial, and resurrection that He prepares and makes things ready for us as we travel through this world. Now, look back in Exodus chapter 16 there, and I want to go to verse, 19. Go down to verse 19. Now, here is Moses giving the directions again, and he said, "Let no man leave it till morning." That's the manna that they had collected in Exodus chapter 16, verse 19. What's it say in the next verse? "Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses." Where's the problem at? Huh? Where's the problem? Is it with the leadership? Or is it with them? It's with them. That's exactly right. It's with them. You and I, folks, as children of God, we want to live victorious in this life that we live in. And without a doubt, if we don't, we are unwilling to follow specific instructions, we're in trouble. And if your instructions don't come from here, we are in big trouble. Amen? We are in big, big trouble. And remember this, as I said, it only came as a certain rate. Look back over in verse 16. "This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather to every man according to his eating an omer for every man according to the number of your persons, and take ye every man for them which are in his tents." It was their responsibility to follow the directions. Over in verse 20, it says, "Notwithstanding, they hearkened not to Moses, but some of them left it until morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth for them." Listen, folks, the only grace that you're going to get today is enough to live through this day. That's what you're going to get. And if you want it tomorrow, you better get up and seek it again tomorrow. You better get up and seek it again tomorrow. And the manna only came in the morning. That's the only time it came. It came in the morning, and there was only enough to get them through that day. That's God's amazing grace. He knows how to supply within our lives. He will daily perform those things. I think it is in the book of 1 Kings that if you go back there, look back there for just one moment. I'm trying to get through these verses because I got so many things to cover, maybe too many. But look in 1 Kings. I just looked this up this morning for a few minutes. 1 Kings 19. Hope I got the right verse written down. Verse 11 and 12. Boy, I hope I got it wrote down right. He says in verse 11 of 1 Kings, chapter 19, he says, "And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the stones before the Lord." Listen. But the Lord was not in the wind. And then he says, "And there was the wind and an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, it says, and after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, what's it say there? A still small voice." You know, so many of us, as we move through this life, we're looking for God to strike the heavens with lightning and send some great special thing our way, you know, to get us out of some dilemma that we find ourselves in. And God's only going to speak in a still, small voice. How are you going to hear it? Is God speaking to you this morning through His Word? I surely hope so. I surely hope so. But daily will I perform my vows. Tells us that in Psalms chapter 61 and in verse 8. Daily, I will perform my vows. How about you? Is that what you'll do as the psalmist said back there? If we will, in Psalm 68, and I'm going to make you jump all over the place. Nothing wrong with that. Gets you familiar with the books. Keeps you limbered up, loosened up. It's like lifting weights. Amen? Which I can't lift very much anymore. Psalms in 68 verse 19. It says this. Wait on the leaves to quit turning. He said, "Blessed be the Lord," here it is, "who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." You want His benefits? You're only going to get them today. You can't rest on tomorrow because of today. You must seek it daily. In Psalms 86, if you look right there, we're pretty close. I've cut a few of these verses out because I've got too many. In Psalms 86 and in verse 3, he says, "Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto Thee daily." You know what that is? That's a man of prayer. A man of prayer. You know, I have in the past, I've had different people give me requests about praying for certain things. And I've just kind of let them ride. Let them go. And I've got so that anymore, if I get that request, I try to find some place I can pray as quick as I can. So this old mind doesn't forget. Because it will. It will forget. And here, without a doubt, if we're going to seek that, and I already took you back to Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, where it says he prayed three times a day as he had did before. Let me tell you, folks, there's always been a group in this world that does not appreciate God's Word. And they do not like those that stand for it. And it is coming very, very rapidly in the society we're living in. There are some people that if you tell them, I went and done a funeral for a friend of mine here a while back, And in the bulletin thing they put up there, I don't know why they did it, but they put down that who was going to take care of the service was clergy, Forrest Pierce. Some guy come up to me and he says, "Hey," he says, "I didn't know you was a preacher in the church." I said, "Whoa!" I said, "I'm not." I said, "They just wanted me to do it because I knew the guy and they wanted me to take care of the service." I said, "I'm not in the clergy, but I said I am a deacon at our church, and I love the Lord, you know." And I have told some people that, and they steered away from me, and. Sometimes that's hard to swallow, right, Pastor? It's not easy. It's not easy. I'm not telling you that what we need to do as God's people is something easy. Don't get me wrong, because I don't mean that in any way. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, it talks about in the latter days, scoffers will come. Scoffers have always been around. Oh, but they're escalating in the day and time that we live in. They are truly escalating. They are ever learning, as it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of truth. Boy, is that a verse. Never coming to the knowledge of truth. As I told you before, if you leave truth out, you'll lose your orientation. You will become disoriented and not know which direction to go. I've spoken to people today that I knew grew up in conservative homes, and they've said to me, "I'm really not sure just what direction I need to go on that particular subject." I got a way of finding out. Go to this book right here. It'll tell you. And you need to stand for Christ in it. Go back to Romans. We're going to close with this. Go back to Romans chapter 6. If I can get there. In Romans chapter 6 and in verse 11, my pastor has already taught through this tremendously, but in Romans chapter 6, verse 11, he says, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." You are now responsible for the direction of your Father and Jesus Christ, and he says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof." He says, "But do this, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but do this, yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Folks, when I was getting ready to come down here this morning, I took the time just to pray and say, "Lord, I'm not sure about this message." And I really wasn't. I said, "I'm not sure about this message." And then when I heard Dr. Kennedy on television this morning, I thought, you know, I can't keep my mouth shut. I'm not going to do it anymore. And I thought, by the grace of God, folks, God takes care of us. Even when we're totally unaware. Go back and read the book of Esther if you don't believe that. Amen? Go back and read it. Jesus, let me say this to you in closing. We need to yield ourselves to God. The only thing we can do is be faithful to this book and its following. Just as the thread of Christ is interwoven through the Old Testament, so is the hand of God's unfailing purpose woven in our lives to bring about His glory. I don't know where I got that from. Truly, I'm not smart enough to think it up myself. So I know I wrote it down from somewhere, but I'm not sure. But without a doubt, folks, if you can't see God's will woven in your life, there's something wrong. You see, the nation of Israel, as they were moving along through the wilderness, they couldn't see where God was taking them. Oh, you got the cloud, you got the pillar, you got the fire by night. You've seen everything that took place in Egypt and everything you can't see. You've seen the rock that was struck and the water came out. What more do you need? Huh? What more do you need? Listen, folks, we're following a great God. But I'm going to tell you what. He requires us to be cooperative in this ministry. He requires it as we move through this life. Yield yourselves unto Him and watch and see what He'll perform within your life. If you want to be encouraged, go back and read Joshua chapter 1 and see what He gave Joshua to do as he moved into the promised land. What a blessing it truly was. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you at this time, and Father, we do pray that you'll just bless this morning. And Father, we hope we're encouraged by the Word of God. We see so much within our world. We have so many folks that are sick and afflicted and struggling and trying to overcome life's ills and life's problems. And yet, Father, we all know that we can live victorious in Christ Jesus if we'll only yield ourselves to the righteousness of God. Father, how much you will bring before us the manifold grace of God, which can supply every need according to His riches in glory. Now, Father, just bless, guide, and direct, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.